Steve, thanks very much. Hello, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show.
You're so pleasant.
I want to start out pleasant because that if something goes awry, people go, the show started out so pleasant. What happened?
That's why I'm here.
Right. How was your weekend? Everything good?
Yeah, I have a toothache.
Oh, Wendy, I hate to hear that.
You know what
What's
time
wrong?
I got it?
Because I know you, I'm going to say 2:30.
Yes.
Because 2:30. Wendy's life is a Dixie Riddle Cup.
Yeah, I got a...
Were you supposed to go fishing with Batman, but Robin lost the worms? That's another, Dixie Riddle Cup favorite.
I'll put that into my repertoire.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I had a root canal done a couple weeks ago, and I don't know what the deal is, but I may have to get another implant.
Oh, no.
So this will be three. I'm going to be lopsided.
Oh, no.
Give it a look, Bill. What do you see?
There was no Dixie Riddle Cup that said that.
That was sexy Riddle Cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you in constant pain?
It's just throbbing, so I feel weird talking, which is kind of bad when you're on the radio.
There's Novocaine in the engineer's room, but I have no idea why. I just know there's a big bucket of Novocaine you need it.
I have a call into my dentist to see what's going on. Maybe my crown just came loose.
Oh, I bet that's what it is. Are you able to perform?
Oh.
All right.
You ask me that every day, and I never have an answer.
See what happens. All right.
How was your weekend?
Good.
Okay.
It was very good.
All right. Did you play some tennis?
Yes. Yes. Sad news from the world of show business,
yeah.
Wendy. I know you already know this, so I'm not going to shock you with this, but the great Rip Taylor has passed away.
Oh, someone else did, too.
Yeah, Baker also passed away.
I think you did it to Rip, though, didn't you?
Well, I was thinking about this because if you listen to the show with some regularity, you know that whenever Wendy or I, and usually
you.
It's me, it's usually me, but not always, whenever we mention a celebrity from the past and we say something along the lines of, you know who I miss or whatever happened to.
Or is she still alive?
Yeah. Well, they die a few days later. But with Rip Taylor, that was a month ago. Or five, actually, I figured it out. It was 5 weeks ago that we were talking about Rip Taylor. And actually, we said to Jasmine, we should really try to get him on the show. And then
he never answered my messages.
He didn't,
so,
Jazz?
Yeah.
Oh. But that was 5 weeks ago, right?
He had a 5-week illness, yeah. I read.
Oh, that's not good, Steve. That's not good. I don't know how I would explain Rip Taylor. Like, my daughters, I'm positive, don't know anything about Rip Taylor, and I'm not positive how I would explain the magic that was Rip Taylor to my kids.
It happened at our house last night, because Michael, who's 20, said, who's Rip Taylor?
Yeah.
And Jim and I said, he was a comedian,
mm-hmm.
and he was crazy.
Yeah,
I don't
silly.
Know. Yeah, and I mean, in my opinion, his act doesn't stand up today, but back then it made you laugh.
It's really funny because I can't figure out. I watched a clip yesterday, and I just watched a clip this morning, and I'm laughing, but I don't. I think your audience of today is way too sophisticated to find that funny. He basically, the word flamboyant is used in every one of his obituaries. There's not a single obituary that they don't talk about Rip Taylor, the flamboyant comic.
And so our conversation about him led to, like, that maybe he was a groundbreaker, right, for gay comedy?
Except
he was
that,
gay?
No,
yes.
He wasn't. I looked him up. He was married for 50 years or something.
See, I have no gaydar, as they call it. I can't tell, honestly, at
right.
all. And you and I have these discussions a lot. And, I mean, he was flamboyant, but I didn't know that he was gay.
But that era, we've talked about this with other people from that era, they weren't gay or not gay as far as their TV personas. They were just outrageous, wacky, silly.
Yes, yes.
Paul Lynde.
Was he gay?
Yes.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
He gay?
Yes. Alan Seuss.
He was gay?
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding, guys.
The purpose of this is for me to not out comedians from the past.
I know. I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying all those guys that were, I mean, honestly, I agree with Steve. There is certainly an element of groundbreaking humor there.
Yep.
But they were just looked upon the way that they were portrayed, sometimes as characters, sometimes as themselves. I don't remember. I guess Rip Taylor may have played other roles every once in a while, but we mostly knew him as Rip Taylor, just showing up on The Tonight Show or Merv Griffin, walking around,
yes.
throwing confetti. I think he held the record for the longest of any performer. Like, once their name is said, once a host would introduce Rip Taylor, from the time that name was said, sometimes 2 or 3 minutes would pass as he'd walk around the room and they'd play Happy Days Are Here Again, and he would douse people with confetti. By today's standards, like, somebody at the network would go, please don't waste 3 minutes with a guy throwing paper at people. Please, please don't do that to us.
But it worked back then. I'm sorry. It was very funny.
Why did it? But it certainly did.
Because it was a different time then. There weren't a lot of people out there that did that. So it was quite original.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now if Carrot Top did it, we'd all roll our eyes.
Yell at him. What's wrong with you, Carrot Top? Let's play a clip. This is just a minute of Rip Taylor. And see. And now, I know this is tricky because most of what he did was visual. Almost everything he did, it was props, you know, so we can describe it later if we want to. But here's a minute of Rip Taylor from a David Letterman show from the 80s.
Well, you got the job. Hello, I got money for gambling. Had to use that damn joke, too. You think this coat's a little busy? Like Liberace threw up on the damn thing. Anyway, good evening. Please laugh, folks. I just had my damn tubes tied this evening.
He's holding up tubes that are tied.
For the children now, Captain Six Pack's in town. They're blind on that side, gee. Hope a dog in heat falls in love with your shin. That'll wake you up. Look at this, the odd couple. Can you see in the back? Hello? Never seen dead people sitting up.
All right, so it's a lot of that. For some reason, he would do this thing. I don't know if you remember this one, where he would do a joke and it would die, and he would point at one guy at the audience and he would say, "I'm going to smack you in a minute." And I don't know why that was funny, because it's not, but it was. Does that make sense?
None of it was funny, but it all was funny.
That is right? The best thing you've ever said.
It's none of it is, and all of it is. I'll buy into that.
Now, something I learned from Rolling Stone magazine, which makes me change my tune a little bit about Rip Taylor. He had a difficult childhood, abused and bullied. He said he discovered early that they weren't hitting you if they were laughing.
Oh.
He got his start as an entertainer while serving in the U.S. Army during the Korean War. Did you know that?
No.
I did not.
I'm trying to picture him entertaining the troops.
Well, he said he reportedly entertained his fellow soldiers during combat.
Yeah.
He returned home with an act that he admitted mostly consisted of jokes stolen from the USO shows.
Oh.
But he began gigging around the East Coast in the Catskills, which is where he came up with his first hit bit, crying profusely as he begged the audience to laugh at his jokes. Then I guess that switched to, I'm going to punch you.
I'm going to smack you. And that's what he would say. The confetti thing started because one night he was doing a show and getting no laughs at all, and he had all his jokes written on index cards, so he just ripped up the index cards and threw them at the audience, and people loved that, so then he did it all the time.
He landed a spot on the Ed Sullivan Show. Sullivan would reportedly ask to book, quote, the crying comedian. Because that was his bit.
Oh, yeah.
Along with his late night appearances, Taylor spent the 60s doing voiceover work, notably playing Elroy in The Jetsons and Uncle Fester in a TV adaptation of The Addams Family.
I knew The Addams Family. I didn't know Elroy in The Jetsons.
I didn't either.
That was a little kid, right, Elroy?
Yeah.
I don't think he did it during the classic version of The Jetsons. He may have done it for a Jetsons movie or something, because I never saw his name in the credits on The Jetsons.
I never looked for his name in the credits. So, I mean, really.
I just want to know who to send thank you cards to after I enjoy a Jetsons episode.
One of us would look.
I'm going to smack you in a minute, Elroy. I just remember, I've said this before, when I was a kid and the TV preview would come on Sunday, when we would get our Sunday paper, the TV preview would come, and I would go through Monday and Friday's Tonight Show appearances, and I would circle the guys that I couldn't wait to see. And Charlie Callis was on there. Like and Rip Taylor was on there, and I would so look forward to his appearances just because it was so manic and crazy.
It was out there.
You'd watch that as a kid and you go, adults should not be behaving like this, man. What's wrong with this guy?
But like I said, there wasn't a lot to compare it to, and it,
yes,
you laughed because it was different, it
right,
was uncomfortable,
right,
and it was somewhat,
well,
funny.
Right, and so let me say this in a complimentary way.
Yeah.
It wasn't very smart.
Say that again, Steve?
Well, it wasn't very smart.
No.
I'm comparing him to other comedians who are trying to be, I guess he was clever.
Yes.
But it wasn't intellectual or anything like that at all.
Now I'm getting Dawes Butler did the voice
of
Elroy.
Dawes Butler was, yeah, on the series. But, you know, sometimes they would do like a special or a movie or something. So maybe he played Elroy in one of those. Maybe. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got a lot more show ahead. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200, you can either call us there or text us there. Don't make Wendy say the word rewards. It doesn't end well. Wendy, how about this? Do you remember on Thursday, we had the great Henry Winkler in studio?
I'll never forget that day as
what
long
a day.
As I live.
What a day. What a nice... We've heard forever that Henry Winkler was the nicest guy in the world, and then he comes in and he proves it. He was the nicest guy in the world. Now, the other celebrity that people always say is the nicest guy in the world is Tom Hanks.
And when we spoke to Dean Richards...
Yes.
...about the Henry Winkler interview...
Mm-hmm.
You said, isn't Henry the nicest man you've ever met? And he said, I would have to say Tom Hanks is nicer.
Yes. Yep. Those are the two legends of niceness in show business. Did you know that Tom Hanks and Henry Winkler have been having a feud since 1989?
I learned it over the weekend.
I can't believe that anyone could ever get mad at either one of those guys, much less them getting mad at each other, because they are the nicest, as we've said, the nicest guys in show business.
Maybe that's why they clash.
Oh, maybe, to out-nice the other?
Yes.
During an appearance on Thursday's Watch What Happens Live, that's the Andy Cohen show that's on the cable, the Happy Days alum, that's Henry Winkler, was asked about the rumors that he does not get along with Tom Hanks. As it turns out, it all stems from Disney's 1989 dog flick, Turner and Hooch.
That was a good movie.
Yes, it was.
I was mad at Tom Hanks for a while after that, too.
What did you say? Henry Winkler said coyly, responding to the question. I was directing that movie for 13 days, and then I was called into Jeffrey Katzenberg's office. He's the producer of Turner and Hooch. Everybody knows that. And he said, Henry, do you have everything with you? Go home. He did, however, hit it off with Tom Hanks' four-legged co-star. I got along great with the dog. I love that dog. Now, 30 years later, the 73-year-old refuses to admit if he's ever even seen Turner and Hooch, and he joked, I don't remember the title of that movie. Way back when, Winkler was signed on to direct the film, which followed Tom Hanks and his crime-solving dog. After his unexpected firing, the Barry actor was then replaced by another director, Roger Spottiswood. Let's just say, Henry Winkler told People magazine all the way back in 1993, I got along better with Hooch than I did with Turner. So are we to assume that it was Tom Hanks that got Henry Winkler fired from directing the movie? It doesn't say it in the story, but that's all I can figure out, is that for some reason Tom Hanks didn't feel that he should be directing, and they made him not direct it anymore.
That doesn't seem like that would be possible.
No, it doesn't. Because at that time, Tom Hanks' star was kind of on the rise to some extent. He hadn't done any of his big movies yet. He had done a couple of small movies, like Bachelor Party and that kind of movie.
I loved that movie.
But Henry Winkler's name was pretty meaningful at that point.
I don't know that this is true. I think this is a hoax. Remember, there was a hoax, too, that Henry Winkler died earlier this year.
Yes.
And yes. If you go to Snopes.com...
We forgot to ask him if it was true or not when he was up on Thursday. How do you think that would have met? What would that have brought?
The way you phrase things sometimes just kills me. That's all I have to say.
Henry, is there any truth to the rumor that you passed away several months ago? Should I have asked him that? Because then if it's true, I feel awful. So I didn't want to set myself up for disaster.
I don't see that happening. And we should get them together. Wouldn't that be something?
They are, of all the people that I've been lucky enough to interview in my whole life, those two guys were such standouts, both of them. Tom Hanks only wanted to talk. He had just made the movie Road to Perdition, but all he wanted to talk about was the Batman TV series. which he had nothing to do with. He was just a big fan of it. That's all he wanted to discuss. I could do that all day. If he wants to talk to me all day with that, I'm fine.
Why don't you pitch him for a podcast, like the Bat Boys or something like that?
So it would be Tom Hanks and I, and every week we would talk about different Batman episodes. All right.
Can I tell you there are people that would listen to that?
I know there would be. I know who wouldn't listen. Henry Winkler. I just finally built up a friendship with Henry Winkler. I don't want to ruin it. All right, tell me this. How much setup do we need? We mentioned something on Friday's show where I made a horrible error, a terrible mistake, and I wanted to make good. How much do we need to set that up before we do it?
We can just do it as we're
doing it?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel bad. There's a lot to keep organized here, and you know I am not organized at all.
Right.
I look to you for organizational skills.
Thank you.
And that's where things may have gone south.
There's a listener. I won't go into great detail yet because we're going to fix this right after the news. There is a listener who sent a very, very kind note about her mother, who's been a longtime WGN listener. What my goal was, this happened all the way back in July. What my goal was to time it so that we sent her a birthday card, this listener. So, and she received it on her birthday, and that's been in the planning stages since July. And then the other day I noticed, after looking at this card every week forever, that her birthday had passed.
By one day.
By
you
one
missed
day.
It by one day.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, but see, when you have something hanging, I talk about my anticipatory anxiety. You had that hanging over your head for too long. And so then it kind of falls on the back burner because you're like, I have plenty of time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it creeps up on you.
And then it passes.
So perhaps we should have sent it in July just because it'll get there early.
I kept thinking that, but then I thought if somebody gets this card and their birthday is still 3 or 4 months away, it doesn't mean they go, they don't care. They sent this so many months in advance. They're not really thinking about it.
So it's better to not send one at all?
No, it's worse. It's way, way worse. But I have learned from this, Wendy, and you know what I've learned? Don't answer anybody's mail. If you get mail, throw it away, because it'll only come back to bite you.
All right, I will do that.
And that includes bills.
Okay.
All these people asking for money. Throw it away.
I will do that.
It can't possibly lead to any trouble.
Nope.
All right, here's the game plan. In a little while, we'll take a break, we'll get you some news, and then we will make good on this horrible birthday mistake that I made. I'm not even putting you in the category, Wendy. It's all on me.
Yay.
I will fix it. We'll fix this. Everything will be okay. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, if we could turn back time, we would have done things very, very differently in this instance. On July the 11th, we received a very, very nice letter from a lady named Jane Rawling telling us about her mom, Helen, who is about to celebrate in October her 80th birthday. Jane is on the phone with us now. Jane, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm miserable. I made a horrible mistake.
What is that?
Well, you sent this very nice letter. I'll read the whole letter. You sent this all the way back on July the 11th. Here's what the letter says.
I was on vacation, by the way.
Wendy was out.
I'm opting out of this.
Wendy was out. This is all on me. Dear WGN. Dear WGN, Mr. Leff and Miss Snyder, I hope this finds your station thriving. I am writing to request a favor. My mom, Helen Poppy, is a loyal listener of WGN Radio. She is turning 80 on October the 3rd of this year. Would you be so kind as to send her a birthday greeting for her birthday? She would be honored to receive such a card, letter, or greeting of some type from your station. It really doesn't matter when you send the card. Now or mid-September or whenever is convenient for you. Thank you so much for your consideration. Signed, Jane. I'm not kidding when I say this. I look at this letter two or three times a week. I've done this since July, saying I'm going to time it just perfectly so that your mom receives it on her birthday. And then on October 4th, I went, wait, October 3rd, this is going to be near impossible to pull this off.
Well, thank you for the consideration, and this is wonderful that you're calling her out and saying happy birthday.
Is she mad at us? I bet she's mad at us.
At you.
At me.
Absolutely not.
She not?
No.
Did you have a big 80 birthday party for her?
We did. We have four children. Two of them were able to travel to Racine County and celebrate. We went to a kind of a fun burger bar in Burlington, Wisconsin. We had a really nice evening and a lot of festivities that night.
Jane, if Wendy were to pick up the tab for that evening, would everything be okay?
Well,
come on.
Sure, that'd be great.
All right, Wendy, that would mean the world to her. Come on.
No.
Come on.
Well, we are very sorry. We wanted to talk to Helen herself on the phone. But
she's mad at us. Is she
upset? No, she's not.
Right.
She just doesn't want to come on the radio. I understand it.
That's
I do.
True.
Yeah.
And one kind of cool thing that we did is our family got together, and between our friends and other relatives, we had over 80 cards, birthday cards, sent to her for her 80th birthday, and we're considering this a card. It's an audio card. Thank you.
See, I knew, because you got 80 cards because it was her 80th birthday. If we had sent a card, it would have thrown the balance off. So that's why I didn't. we didn't send one. Does that seem plausible at all?
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you request this from other WGN personalities, or was it just Wendy and myself?
Just you and Wendy.
Oh, that makes it worse.
It does, 100%.
That makes it so much worse.
Well, this call, I don't think, should be in lieu of a birthday card. I think we should just send one late, because better late than never, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be terrific.
What are her interests? Like, if we went to Osco and picked up a card, Jane, what are her interests?
Animals.
Yeah, hold on. I'm writing it down. Animals. Any animal in particular?
Horses.
She likes horses and cats. All right. What else?
Yep. Musical instruments. She's played a violin.
Oh, very cultured. All right. So horses, cats, violins, and what else?
Beer as a good Wisconsinite.
Oh,
beer.
Yeah.
That was going to be our guess. All right. Excellent. All right.
Cheese, too. Beer. Water and the food thing, cheese.
I want to hang out with her.
Sure, she's fun.
I don't know that you could keep up with her, Wendy, I'll be honest. So you did the big night out. Did you do that on her birthday? Did everybody gather together for her birthday, or was that done a day or so after? Because that's in fashion now.
After, on Friday evening, yes.
Oh, all right. All right.
Well, good
A little bit of traveling involved, so it worked out very well.
I assume Helen is a Packer fan.
Yes, you assumed correctly.
So she had a good weekend.
Nice game. Yeah. Yes, she did.
Put some money down, maybe? Put down a couple of bucks on Green Bay? Who could blame her?
I think not, but no. Possibly. I don't know.
All right.
I think we really want to wish a very heartfelt happy 80th birthday to Helen. And we wish you the best, and we're very sorry that Bill made this terrible mistake.
Horribly sorry.
That's just terrific. She is listening, and I'm sure she's thrilled. So and thank you both very much.
As a mom, Jane, I'm sure she's thinking this. This is what my mom would have said. I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, right. That one hurts worse.
That's the doesn't it?
That is there's no more cutting a sentence in the English language than that one.
All right. That's very true.
Well, a card
as
is on
mom,
the way.
I use it, too.
You use it also. All right.
It does work. It's
once
very effective.
Once in a while.
All right, a card is on the way. Tell her thank you and a very happy birthday from both of us.
Okay, you two have a great day.
All right,
thank you so
much.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Jane.
Bye.
Really, stop opening letters.
That's my last letter I'm ever going to open.
Because it is a lot of pressure on us. We don't have assistance. We can't expect Jasmine to do everything.
No, this is so not on her. I would every week I would lean this card up on my monitor of my computer so it's the first thing I see when I come in. And every week I'd look at it and I'd still go, well, we got 5 more weeks to worry about this. We got 3 more weeks to wait. I'm not going to do anything now. I've got all this time. I want to time this properly. And then I didn't.
You should have put a big October, 3rd on it so you would have known.
Oh, that's not a bad. Yeah, right. You're right.
So next time, just don't open it.
Right.
Seriously.
That's true.
Too much pressure
that's
to put
very,
on ourselves.
That's very, very true.
Do you feel a little better?
Nope.
I feel worse, quite honestly.
Because she wouldn't talk to us. I was sure that she would come on at some point, but she didn't come on. All that beer and cheese, though. It affects different people different ways.
That's a good
right? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. There's a lot to discuss. You want to jump in, you can. Just don't send me any letters. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Run!
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and we have may have found a side job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we may have. Dolores is calling us right now. What's going on, Dolores?
Not much. I'm just happy to be awake in time for this. I just love your show.
Thank you, Dolores. You're very kind.
I wake up late, usually, in the morning. Because I have no job. I'm retired. I sit around with the radio on. And, I hate to miss Bill and Wendy.
Oh, you're very nice. Thanks.
Well, my problem is, I'm listening to you, and I'm sympathizing with the missed birthday.
Yeah.
Now, if you would like to atone for that, really want to atone
yes.
for that.
Bless me, Dolores, we have sinned.
You have what?
I said, bless us, Dolores, we have sinned. What's our penance?
Because your sins are forgiven, go in peace.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, my birthday is coming up, November 3rd.
Yeah.
So that's less time for you to remember it in advance, right?
It is, isn't it?
Okay, and I'll be 91.
Wow!
Yeah, well, listen, I feel lucky.
Yes.
I don't know why, because the reason I sleep late is because I'm retired,
yeah.
And I live for the radio. My vision is not good, and I don't enjoy TV that much, but I do love Bill and Wendy.
Oh, that's so nice.
Explain it. I don't know. I think it's just the humor just interlocks.
Well, thank you, Dolores. Now, November 3rd is a Sunday, so there's nothing we can do on air.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I should have known.
Maybe Bill will come out to your house and bring you a cupcake.
Oh, that would be good, but just let me know in advance so I'm awake. I don't want to fall asleep.
All right.
No, what I was going to get at, but the thing that keeps me going to 92, I should have figured this out before I picked up the phone, is that on my birthday next year, it will be the election day.
Oh.
And I look at it as a sign. So all bless me for I have sinned crap. I have stuff. I will take that to heart. And I hope everything is well. I just love you, too.
Well, thanks, Dolores.
Continue what you're doing is a wonderful humor.
So we will probably call you like November 5th or 6th, a few days after your birthday, to congratulate you.
Hey, you know, I'll take it.
All right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy. Thank you so much, Dolores.
That's a good side job.
But now we got to start charging.
All right.
The thing is, we'll have to do it on time.
Has it come to that? I realized that, the movie Joker opened on Thursday, and there were a lot of fears, Wendy, that there could possibly be some violence because of the subject matter of the movie. I was very relieved to read and hear that it looks like there were almost no incidents, nothing serious. Dean Richards mentioned earlier with Justin that there were some instances of people dressed like the Joker showing up to.
I thought they weren't allowing.
Some of the theater chains that were carrying the movie had disavowed that and said, no, if you're going to come in costume, we're not going to let you in. But not all movie theaters did that. But Dean had pointed out that some showed up in Joker outfits, and that more than one was smoking, which proves what I've told you in the past, that Jokers are smokers. This proves it 100% once and for all.
No, smokers are Jokers.
Smokers are Jokers.
I guess it goes the opposite way.
Either way, it's reciprocal.
That was here downtown that the smoke. Why are you smoking in a theater?
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, it's not like
I don't know.
This movie allows it.
I don't know. But if that's the worst thing that happened, because there was a lot of panic going, oh, is it safe to go see this movie? If that's the worst thing that took place over the weekend was people showing up dressed as clowns and smoking, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Right. Yeah. And it did pretty well, didn't it?
It did very well. Broke some records.
And am I imagining this now? I'm much like Dolores, and I sleep till the last possible minute.
Yes. Now,
I was up listening to Dean on with Justin and G today, and didn't he say that Joaquin Phoenix came out at the end of the film somewhere?
Yeah, in California at one of the theaters, he showed up at the end just to thank everybody and do a Q&A, and that was unannounced. He just happened to be there.
Isn't that pretty great?
Yeah. Yeah.
With everybody having so many issues about this.
So I wonder, as I heard that story, I wonder if that was somebody from the movie company saying, we need some good publicity. There have been some people, even though the movie did great numbers, I'm wondering if somebody from Warner Brothers said to him, hey, it would really look good if you showed up and did this, a goodwill moment, or if he just did this on his own. It's a Johnny Depp move. Johnny Depp had done this in the past.
But he doesn't...
At Disneyland.
Yeah.
He dresses up like Jack Sparrow and shows up at Disneyland. And people go, God, you look exactly like Johnny Depp, to which he says, I'm Johnny Depp.
Yeah, but those animatronics really do look like him anyway.
I know.
I want to mention Ginger Baker as well. He died at the age of 80 over the weekend. Ginger Baker was an
legendary,
amazing drummer with Cream, Blind Faith. He died on Sunday in a hospital in southeastern England. He was 80 years old. His family confirmed his death. He was pretty amazing, and he's been sick for a while. That was announced fairly recently, so I didn't think it was going to be much longer. He was known as a very cantankerous type of guy. But was an amazing drummer. So you have your Ginger Baker, you have your Rip Taylor,
mm-hmm.
and Diane Carroll, of course, passed away on Friday.
We got a text from somebody saying, how could you not mention Diane Carroll? But that came up during the show. That happened during our show on Friday, and we did mention that quite a bit. Very important actress. The first black actress to have her own TV series, monumental, opened the door for a lot of other actresses and has been thanked. I remember when Halle Berry won her Academy Award, she thanked Diane Carroll, and other black actresses have said, without Diane Carroll, I wouldn't be here. So, yeah, in addition to being a wonderful actress and a beautiful woman, really did open some doors.
So is that our three? Is that close enough in proximity?
Well, you have the celebrity three, and then I always go the three guys named Rip. So you had Rip Torn this year. You had Rip Taylor. So I guess Rip Van Winkle, if you're him, travel lightly. Be very, very careful, Mr. Van Winkle, whatever you do.
And that was something Jimmy Mack was saying to me last night. It's like if you go to look up Rip Taylor, your brain takes you to Rip Torn first.
They were
so,
almost interchangeable because the names were so similar.
And I forgot Rip Torn passed away.
Yeah, several months ago. Yes.
He was pretty
Yes. Do we want to talk Bears or is that too upsetting?
It's I don't
up
know.
To you.
I went to Brookfield Zoo yesterday because my great nephew, my niece's son,
mm-hmm.
Micah, turned two. So we went there and had a lovely time. And I was there when the Bears game started. So I came home and saw that we were losing tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, kind of got you on one shoulder.
Was I wearing a devil outfit or an angel outfit?
Of course, I only think the devil.
Of Bill during the Bears games now.
Oh, don't. That's not. I didn't want them to lose.
No,
I want them to win.
No, we know you didn't want them. But I mean, there's something about it when I came home and turned it on and, you know, they were losing and it didn't look good. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it on while I play Candy Crush.
Yeah.
So I left it on. I must have dozed off because when I woke up, lo and behold, we were kicking some major Bears, major butt.
They were down 21-0 at the half. They came back and led 24-21 before losing it in the last couple of minutes.
I don't how.
I know. Well,
yeah, it was 17-0.
Yeah,
think
it wasn't.
17?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought 21.
No, they didn't have all that, and it's just
you see everything with the Bears in exaggerated terms, Bill.
I guess it comes from a lifetime of following them.
Yeah, we were losing. Then all of a sudden, how did this happen? They had an amazing third quarter that I slept through, but I woke up to see it. And then I had some stuff I had to do, so I kind of trailed off.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed to know they lost.
But so many people have said, oh, you must be thrilled that they lost. And no, I'm not. I want them to win.
Of course you do.
I really do.
Did you watch any of the game?
Yes. I did watch a little bit. I didn't see the whole thing, and I didn't see the collapse at the end. So
I saw a lot of people. I know, Bertrand, you had some listeners out, or you went to the Blackhawks game.
Yeah, but a lot of them rented a bus and went to watch the game in Prague last night.
Oh. They showed it live there?
Yeah, it was at 6 o'clock at night there. They found a place where it was being played.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty wild, because I saw a lot of people I knew on Facebook that took the trip to London to see the Bears.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're Bears fans.
Yeah.
They want to go. They're, hey, let's go to London.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel. I'm still hopeful. I'm a Bears fan. There's nothing else I can do.
Right.
Boy, but they just had it handed to them on a platter yesterday.
Yeah.
After the comeback.
Yeah.
Which they earned, but the... The Oakland A's were
Raiders
were giving them so many chances.
Yeah.
What happened in the third period? Were the Raiders taking a nap?
Yeah, they didn't. Nobody told them that the game was back in progress, so they just stayed in the dressing room.
Is it a time change? Is that what the problem was?
They were in England, so they were all enjoying a Mr. Bean episode. They were just watching Mr. Bean on tape. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and there's more show. Eric Zorn later on today. Don't forget, it's Bill and Woody WGN. All right, speaking of wheels in the sky, Wendy, how about this family in Linwood that found a helicopter wheel in the ceiling of their house?
I don't get this story.
This is crazy.
At all.
A family in South Suburban Linwood made a surprising discovery Saturday night when they returned home to find a helicopter wheel hanging from the ceiling of their bathroom. I can't even imagine what must go through your head. There's more to the story, obviously. What goes through your head as you're going through the house and you see that? You try to do the math on it and you go, okay, we don't have a helicopter and no helicopters are ever in our house, ever. And yet, there's a helicopter wheel in our ceiling. How did it come to be?
Jim would call the boys in and go, look at this crazy piece of sculpture Mom got at Marshall's. Or Home Goods.
Why the bathroom? This should be in the dining room so we can enjoy it during dinner, not in the bathroom. Linda Dion, age 55, said, I don't know why they include people's ages in stories like this, but she's 55. Happy birthday now, Linda. I don't want to miss your birthday. Said she returned just before 7 p.m. to her two-story single-family home located on Marlin Court and was watching television when her daughter began yelling upstairs. She said, Linda says, she started screaming, Mama, Mama, come here now. I was scared. I thought something had happened to one of my grandchildren. When what she found upstairs stunned her, a small wheel that looked like it was from an airplane poking through the ceiling of the bathroom. I could see where she might be stunned by that. That's a stunnable offense.
And it just missed the recessed lighting.
Ah! I saw the wheel hanging in the ceiling of my bathroom. There was plaster everywhere, she said. She said the wheel must have struck the home while they were out earlier in the evening, which I would agree, because that's the kind of thing you would notice, right? She goes, boy, maybe we've had that for a long time. I didn't even notice that. None of the neighbors she talked to on Saturday night said that they heard anything. A spokesman for the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, said the part appeared to be a dolly wheel assembly from a helicopter. The agency was still working to determine when and from which aircraft the part fell Saturday night. That's very alarming, because that means there's some aircraft going out there that needs that wheel, and they don't even know it's gone. I would work double time to try to solve that mystery very quickly.
Couldn't an air traffic control, they must communicate with air traffic controllers.
Helicopters?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So can't somebody just go, breaker 19, is someone missing a dolly wheel?
Wheel check. Wheel check, everybody. Dion, who lives just blocks away from the Lansing Municipal Airport, said that she long feared that something like this would happen to her home. If you lived, Wendy, that close to an airport, would it be a constant fear, or at some point would you say to yourself, well, I do live by an airport, but I've lived here for several years. We've never had an incident. I can stop worrying about this.
I worry about everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when there is a helicopter hovering over our house, if there's some news story or something, there will be several of them.
Yes.
And I always worry that something's going to go awry.
Sure.
I mean, I know the chances of it happening. I probably have a better chance of winning the lottery.
Yeah.
But it's still... And when they fly over your house to get to where they're going, the news helicopters, I get very nervous.
You think about it a little bit?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't brace myself or anything, but I do think about it.
But think about, like, of all the people you know and have known through your whole life, have any of them ever had a part of an airplane land in their house or apartment? It's such
just
a
the Linwood.
Well, now the Linwood family. The Deons of Linwood. But other than that, no, it just doesn't happen. But also think about the fact that if there wasn't a house there to break the fall of this wheel, somebody would have been killed, right? If you're walking along and a wheel falls off a aircraft,
yeah.
You're done.
That's what if it falls in your sunroof? If you have your sunroof open and you're driving,
horrible.
Can I say something? I'm not an alarmist,
right?
Not usually,
but
I'm getting better about being an alarmist. All right, but aren't you kind of surprised this doesn't happen more often? Remember that blue ice that was falling all the time?
There was a time where that happened pretty often. Yeah. And I don't remember the last time I heard that story, but that was a regular part of a news broadcast. Once every other month or every third month, they would tell a story about how blue ice, which is a derivative of the bathroom system of an airplane, would just fall on somebody or somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't remember even the last time that's happened.
No, I'm going to do some news searching, solved that. Though.
See if that's recent. Back to Linda Dion, already in progress. She says, I am so scared and nervous right now. Now, I wouldn't be, because the odds of it happening once are tremendous, but it never happens twice.
I don't know if it's just with lightning, but wheels don't strike twice in the same place.
Right. The old adage. You hear that every day.
Good.
But I would think if anyone's safe, it's the Dion family of Linwood, because one time I'll give you. Like one time right. I go, oh, that was crazy, that freak time. Remember when that wheel came in your house? But if it happens more than once, something's amiss.
Yeah, but I'm just shocked that no one is aware of whose wheel that is at this point.
And no one saw it, because it had to have fallen some sort of a distance from wherever the aircraft was to the house. Wouldn't somebody have seen it? It was, what did I say? It was Saturday just before 7 p.m.
So it was still light
out. Middle of the day on Saturday, fairly decent weather. People are out and about. No one saw it.
That is weird.
Dion then went on to say, just when you think Linda Dion is done saying things, Wendy, she comes back with more to say. I've been dreading this. I've always had a fear of a plane hitting the house. What if it had been later on in the night? Well,
it didn't matter because it was in the bathroom.
Landed in the ceiling,
and it didn't break all the way through.
No,
so
just,
I mean,
it created a mess with the plaster.
If somebody was in the shower, that would have been a pretty alarming thing.
Right.
What the?
I know. Imagine that. Imagine that.
Susie wants to talk to us. She's called us at 312-981-7200. Hey, what's going on, Susie?
Hi. This happened about 40 some years ago. I was in college at Roosevelt University, and I had a friend named Adrienne. I won't say her last name. She lived at Hollywood and Sheridan, where the curve goes around, you know, on the drive.
Yeah.
And a small plane crashed into her building above, one floor above her apartment, you know, where they lived. It wasn't a condo. I think it was an apartment. And crashed right into it. They didn't have those lights, you know, those beam things that flash. So I don't know if the plane was from Miggs Airport or where, but I know the plane crashed into her apartment. It was the most shocking thing in the world. I mean, how could that happen?
Yeah.
But it never happened again, because they did put in, you know, that, like, I don't know, beam or whatever it's called, those long towers that flash on top of that building. But things happened. It was unbelievable.
What happened to the people?
Her apartment,
whoever,
I don't know. I don't remember.
You don't know?
I don't remember what happened to the plane or anything. I just remember, you know, I was young and we weren't thinking about anything. I just was shocked that the plane crashed. I can't imagine that anyone, maybe they didn't survive. It was a small plane. I don't know what, you know, how, but I don't know the rest of the story. I mean, I don't even know if you Googled it, if it would be there, but that was quite a thing. I mean, whoever heard of anything like that?
Yeah.
That happened.
That's wild.
So they had to put those, you know, systems up on those high-rises so small planes that would circle in off the lake, I guess, wouldn't go into buildings.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, like the strobes.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, that happened.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Susie.
Thanks, Susie. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You know, we can't figure this out, but Jim has called us and thinks he knows how this may have happened.
Good.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, the cart is part of the airport staff. They have a cart that the helicopter lands on so they can drag it around, because helicopters have skids. So they must have forgot to disconnect the cart, and then it took off with the helicopter.
Oh, yeah, because it said a dolly wheel. It wasn't like the landing gear for the helicopter.
Oh.
So it was still connected on its, like...
Yeah, they forgot to disconnect it. They took off. Then it falls off after a little bit.
So is this why no one's coming forward? Because somebody made a mistake and didn't disconnect it?
Someone made a mistake or the pilot didn't check it.
So, Jim, whose fault when something like that happens? Is it the grounds crew whose job it is to check and double check and make sure that that's done? Who's responsible?
I think the pilot and then the control tower, but the pilot first.
Oh, maybe.
Then the control tower says, hey, you're dragging something there.
Yeah.
Land.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim.
That makes a lot
of sense.
Have a good
one.
Thank you, Jim. But now who's going to come forward and go, yeah, that was mine.
If you're in a news helicopter, you know that's on there because of all the cameras that we'd have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, so I fly in a traffic helicopter.
Right. Yeah.
And it's always amazing to me how the pilots land directly on that pad and take off from that pad. It's, you know, it's like a little wooden board that we take off from. But yeah, we have like... 3 or 4 different cameras, and the cameramen's always switch in to check if everything's okay after we get up to make sure the tail looks good.
Yeah.
And So I wouldn't think that it was a news helicopter because they should have known that.
No one's blaming you, Jen DeSalvo. No one thinks you're responsible.
I totally got what Wendy was talking about, parts flying or dropping off of things. I'm right underneath O'Hare's flight path. So,
and I mean, aren't there records of who was flying over where? I mean, can't they figure out who this was?
Yeah,
there'd have to be.
Yeah, there definitely is. That's all FAA regulated. You know, you have to ask permission for airspace or to go around things. So there should be. There definitely should be a log of that.
Jen, you said you live in the air path near O'Hare, right?
Yeah.
So were you cognizant of that when you were deciding to live there? Were you thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. Something could happen, or did it just not even enter into your idea of possibility?
Didn't even enter into my mind. I was born and raised under the Midway flight path. It was almost like you can stand on my roof and touch the airplanes for crying out loud. And it wasn't that close. But
that's fun.
But yeah, like, you know, having to sleep with box fans in order to muffle the noise from all of the planes flying over every couple of minutes.
Wow.
That's not something I'm actually scared of, but I totally understand if things fall off there.
Someone has texted us and wants to know, was Dave Matthews Band flying the helicopter?
That's all right, a good one. A break and then more discussion. Stick around, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
A helicopter wheel fell into a Linwood home. It just crashed through, didn't go all the way through. It does look kind of cool, like an artsy sculpture.
That's how they'll sell it to their neighbors. Several texters, Wendy, have asked similar questions. I'll just get to the most brief one. What if you were sitting on the toilet when it happened? I would say that that's the perfect place to be. I can't think of a more perfect place than that.
Another text, if I mentioned, what if your sunroof was open and it fell through that? Somebody said, if a wheel fell from the sky, do you think it matters if your car sunroof is open or closed?
No, it does not.
I guess.
No, it does not.
And the wheel is for moving a helicopter on the ground. It's not landing gear. It should be removed before flight. Thank you, Chuck from Naperville. Mm-hmm. But someone knows who it belongs to. And now at this point, who's going to come forward? Because they're going to get in trouble.
So you say if you know it's you, you don't want to cop to it because it can only lead to disaster. You just want to lay low on that, throw another wheel on wherever you need to and get on with your life.
Get a backup wheel.
Do you remember, I don't remember if this was an Outer Limits episode or a Twilight Zone or a movie, but I remember seeing this thing as a kid about a guy who kept having nightmares of being on a plane that crashed. He was supposed to go on a trip, a business trip, and he kept having the same reoccurring nightmare that he was on a plane and there was turbulence and a crash. So he canceled his trip and then a plane crashed into his house and killed
him. Took him out.
Yeah. Do you remember that? I don't remember what the source was, but I remember being very disturbed by that when I was younger, going, oh, no, don't follow your dreams. Look what happens.
I do remember that, but I don't know if it had to have been Alfred Hitchcock or Twilight Zone.
Thriller,
or
one of those.
Thriller?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's album?
No, the Boris Karloff show.
I don't even remember that.
It was one of those anthology series where stuff like that always happened. I don't remember which.
You know what I found out last night? Did you watch The Walking Dead?
I did.
Did you see that Greg Nicotero is redoing the Creep Show, a series?
Well, he worked on the original Creepshow, so the t-shirt he was wearing...
No, there was an ad. It's coming.
Oh, they're redoing it?
They took little Judith. She is the first person who was booked to star in an episode. She's in episode one. They are doing Creepshow, and it's on some network that you have to pay for.
So originally, when that came out, I think it was all Stephen King stories, wasn't it? Or am I imagining that wrong?
I know he was in it, and I'm pretty sure, yes. Yeah.
So maybe he's involved in some way. Good.
Yeah, he's directing it. He's putting it. Oh, he's good. Bringing it back. But it's on some network that you have to pay a monthly fee for. That's how they're getting you for everything.
Speaking of Stephen King, I also saw that a movie version of Dr. Sleep.
Oh, I saw the.
That's the sequel to The Shining.
Oh, that I didn't know.
I read the book a couple years ago. It was okay.
Is that on television or theater?
In theaters. In theaters. The book isn't anywhere near as impactful as the original Shining was. It's an update on the characters. It's a sequel. It's Danny when he grows up, Danny Torrance when he grows up. But I had no idea the movie was even being made, and then it's opening in a few weeks.
I saw the trailer for it or whatever, the ad for it. And then I did, over the weekend, watch the Netflix...
Marianne. Is that it?
No.
Oh.
What is that?
That's a show on Netflix that Stephen King highly recommended. We talked about it the other day when we were talking about TV. Because he said he watched it and he goes, it reminds me of something I wrote, except I didn't write it.
Okay, I actually watched the Stephen King thing, the Tall Grass thing, In Tall Grass or something like that. It was really creepy and good and some great photography and camera angles on it. That's running on Netflix. It's a Stephen King movie.
Yeah.
And it's freaky, creepy, and I'm not sure if I left it being fulfilled.
Oh, so you don't recommend it?
I don't.
It's okay, but not great?
It's really good. I would recommend it if you have a couple hours to kill.
I'm looking through some text, Wendy. We were talking about this helicopter wheel that fell through a home in Linwood. Scaring the daylights out of the Dion family, by the way.
Yes.
So a couple people have mentioned that they're close to Lansing Airport and that Lansing Airport doesn't have a control tower. I'm not positive how that enters into the conversation about how a wheel could have fallen, but is there something to do with the control tower noticing whether or not a wheel is attached to an aircraft? I'm not sure. I don't know why that's pertinent information, but more than one person has mentioned that Lansing Airport's very small, too small to have a control tower.
Yeah, but the pilot, as Jen mentioned, should be aware that the dolly is still on there. Look at the little dolly. That's right. What they would say.
Right. Hello, dolly. Or in this case, there is no
goodbye,
hello.
Goodbye, dolly. I don't know, but someone has to come forward, and I bet at this point there'd be a big fine and other things. So are they going to come forward? That helicopter's long gone.
I think it is. Yeah. All right.
All right, we'll take a break. Eric Zorn will be chatting with us because he does that pretty much each and every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn did something very interesting as he came into the studio, Wendy. I'm sure you noticed this also. He sauntered in, and then he said, what did you think of my entrance? I've never had anyone do that before, Eric, but that was a great way to start it all off, to come in that way.
I'm trying to work on my presentation.
Yeah.
I mean, just being on the radio with you guys is not enough. I feel like I have to come into the studio.
Are you going to experiment with new entrances every week, or is that a one-time thing?
No, I think I'm going to try a bunch of different ones. I like maybe a pirouette coming in would be nice.
That would get our attention.
And I'm thinking about like a flash, a smoke bomb, a little flash
that
bomb.
I would like.
And it would distract you, and then you'd look up and I'd be sitting here.
Now you know you'd need to hire a kid to come in and do the smoke bomb.
It would be totally worth it.
Hey, there's a kid right there in a man's body.
I'll do it.
I'd work on the kid's entrance.
All right.
Or maybe I could just hire you to do it and you could see going outside.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. A name change for a Chicago landmark. The Museum of Science and Industry is changing their name, and I know you want to talk about this.
Well, it's really interesting. Yeah, this news broke on Thursday, I think it was, which was Ken Griffin, who is, I think, the richest guy in Illinois, according to the last measurements. He gave $125 million to the Museum of Science and Industry, which is down, you know, right by the University of Chicago.
Was it contingent on them changing their name to his name, or did they say, you know, he's been so generous, we should do him something nice?
I'm guessing that this was probably part of the conversation.
Yeah.
If you were given all that money, Bill, wouldn't you want that in return?
Yeah. It's funny. I don't really actually know how some of these overtures go. Whether they does the institution come to the person and say, you know, we could really use some extra money, and mm-hmm. if you do that, we'll name the museum. Or if the person comes and says, nice museum you got here. What would it cost me?
I wonder if their prices are structured.
How much for your museum?
Do they structure the prices where they say, this is what it would cost to have your whole name on it, this is what it would cost to just have part of your name on it?
Your initials, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, I know that Ken Griffin, the same guy, gave some money to the Field Museum, but not enough to take the field name off.
Oh.
He gave enough money for them to name the dinosaur exhibit after him.
Oh, that's good.
One of the dinosaur exhibits. So, it was really an amazing act of generosity. I don't have a huge problem with it. Museum of Science and Industry is not one of those unforgettable, colorful names that you just like, oh, I just love that. The way it's interesting to me that the Cubs have never renamed Wrigley Field, even though the Wrigley family has nothing to do with it anymore.
Right.
It's like a free ad for their chewing gum every
time.
There'd
be a huge backlash.
But the question is, do you think about Wrigley chewing gum when you hear Wrigley Field? Does it?
I don't.
No.
I know the history, but it doesn't present itself right away whenever I say Wrigley
Field.
You
don't think, oh, I got to go buy myself some, what is it, Double Mint? Is it?
Yeah.
That's Wrigley's, right?
Yeah.
Wrigley Spearmint Gum, Gum. Sorry. And Juicy Fruit and Big Red.
I think we're doing their work for them right
now.
Yeah.
But so many people, I think, because that's been so iconic for so long, is that they don't even associate it. I bet most people, or a lot of people, wouldn't even know that there was the same Wrigley. That it was just,
I think it's probably true.
Right?
Yeah, and of course, the thing is, there was some pushback, quite a bit of pushback in Chicago when the White Sox renamed Comiskey Park, which had been Comiskey Park forever, right? They named that, the first one was U.S. Cellular Field. Did it go right to Guaranteed Rate?
I think so.
I thought there was another one.
An interim sponsor.
Oh, was there?
And people were saying that they would never say that, and I hear people talk about Sox Park a lot.
Yes.
I don't hear people say Comiskey Park much anymore. I think that really is...
It's too far removed already?
It's been about 20 years now? It's been 10 years since the Willis Tower became the Willis Tower.
Have never once called it that.
See, Wendy's...
It takes some doing for me to think about it. Wendy is old school.
So yes. I've come to think of it as Willis Tower. I don't... It doesn't come up a lot in conversation, but that's how I think of it.
But if you were going there and you got into a cab, wouldn't your first inclination be to say Sears Tower?
I don't know. I don't know at this point. You know, there were people who were out protesting about the change from Marshall Fields to Macy's.
Yeah. But that was more than just a name change. That was an ownership change.
You could certainly understand why Macy would want their brand name on it.
Yeah.
There is one name change that I have stoutly refused to adjust to, and that's the renaming of the golf course up along the lakefront that was called Waveland.
Beautiful
nine-hole course up there, Irving Park.
Yeah.
And
what did they change
it
to?
It changed
to William R. Merovitz, named after a park district official.
Yeah.
So it's officially the Merovitz Golf Course.
Do you even golf there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you just refused to say it, but yet you don't go there.
Oh, no. I don't go there a lot, but I do.
Because of the name.
But once a season. It's a nice little course, actually. And, and I just it's been 20, 25 years, I think, since they renamed it. I just sort of casually, in conversation with friends, like, let's go play Waveland. No one likes to say Merovitz, although...
Now, here's one
that's... He does.
Yeah.
The Merovitz family.
Merovitz family enjoys saying it. Here's one that's a little trickier, and that is the Oriental Theater changing its name.
Just recently, all these years.
Isn't it, what is they change the first, the bank, some Bank of America Theater or something like that?
I can't remember who got the naming rights on it, but to some people, that name is offensive.
Yeah,
it's the James M. Niederlander Theater.
Oh, it's the Niederlander, right.
Right, okay. Right.
Okay. There's also the Oriental Institute in Chicago, too.
Yes.
I don't know if that name, that term is outmoded.
It's outdated.
But then there's the NAACP, right?
Right.
And they're sort of I think United Negro College Fund,
right.
Places that have these throwback names, I think people just gloss over.
But, yeah.
But one of the things that's interesting to me is there was a lot of fuss online about this change for the Museum of Science and Industry. They're like, I'll never call it. And it's possible that people won't, because technically, I guess, the name's going to be like the Ken Griffin Museum of Science and Industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how dare...
Kenneth C. Griffin Museum of Science and Industry.
Kenneth C. Griffin, right.
Who cares?
Well,
not for him. I'm not saying against him.
Well, it's an interesting point, although, you know, the truth is that we do have museums in town that are named for people, and certainly one is the Field Museum.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Marshall Field was, a paleontologist.
Or right.
Just a rich guy.
Yeah, who paid for a bunch of stuff.
The museum.
Right.
Does anyone know? And this gets to a point that I mean. Does anyone know who the Adler Planetarium is named for?
Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses.
Is it Charles Adler? Is that his name?
I'm sorry. Both of you are wrong.
No?
We'll bring in some new contestants. It was founded in 1930 by Chicago business leader Max Adler.
Oh.
The Shedd Aquarium. Any guesses for the
John
Shedd?
John G.
Shedd.
I don't know who he is.
Who was he?
He was a businessman who liked to swim.
He did wear Speedos. That doesn't say that here, but I think we can safely assume that. He's a protege of Marshall Field's. He's a wealthy guy. And then, of course, there's the Peggy Notobart Museum, which is named for the... Peggy Notobart is the wife of Quest Communications Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Richard Notobart.
Is she still with us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think she is. I think this is... If she's not, then we can do a whole apology.
Because when we were kids, people who had their names on stuff had died long ago, it seemed.
Right.
You're right, Bill, but I think now's a different time.
Now's a different time, and I think that can be sort of risky. And I've called for a moratorium, the Hall of Fame rule in baseball, where they give you you have to be retired. I think baseball is 5 years.
Yes.
You can't just, because they worry that there's going to be some sort of burst of sentiment. Remember, like, Thurman Munson was killed in a plane crash?
And, yeah.
And people, let's put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, let's wait.
Got to wait 5 years.
Let's wait 5 years to see whether this is just, sentiment speaking, or whether he actually belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I think it's a really wise thing. I think it'd be good for a politician to be retired for 5 years. I brought this up when they renamed Stroger Hospital for
John Stroger. Stroger.
I thought, just wait a little bit to see what his legacy is.
Let's say there's an entrepreneur who realizes that there's some museum that can only survive with an influx of money, and look, I'm rich, I've got that money, I'll give it to you.
Well, I would make an exception for rich people doing it, actually, because rich people are actually just buying their name to be on the thing. So,
right.
I wish I was rich.
The Snyder.
You can't be
the
far
Wendy
off,
Snyder,
Wendy.
Everything.
What would be in the Snyder Museum?
Oh, that I don't know, but I would just buy a property, and it would be the Wendy Snyder Museum,
mm-hmm.
The Wendy Snyder Taco Bell,
mm-hmm.
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Yep. All right, we'll take a quick break. Would the fountain have water or beer? What would come out of it?
Mmm. I'd have to think about
that. All right, more with Eric Zorn just moments away. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He made quite an entrance, but CLTV doesn't carry us, Eric, so nobody will see it but us.
Oh, man.
Very sad. An interesting story with the owner of the Houston Rockets in a tweet he made.
The general manager of the Houston Rockets.
Daryl
Morey. General manager of the Houston Rockets, and is one of the most popular U.S. basketball teams in China.
Yeah.
Because Yao Ming used to play for them, if you know your NBA history.
He was the center for them for years.
And Hall of Fame, actually. And anyway, Daryl Morey, he just tweeted out an image that read, on Friday night, I think it was, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." Just standing with the Hong Kong protesters, and you've been following that story where the streets of Hong Kong are filled with protesters who are fighting for democracy, some open elections, and so on. And this created an amazing storm in China, that they were really mad about this. And China is a big source of income for the NBA now. It's really popular over
there. For merchandising?
Merchandising. They have viewers. They stream the games over there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a really big deal. The NBA is really vested in China and vice versa. And the Chinese government responded. They were infuriated by this. And so Morey, the guy from the Houston Rockets, deleted the tweet right away, and then he wrote this cringeworthy apology, saying, "I did not intend my tweet to cause any offense to Rockets fans and friends of mine in China. I was merely voicing one thought based on one interpretation of one complicated event." Do you like my voice? My
imitation? Yeah.
Very effective.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
Oh, that was your voice? I didn't know that.
"I have a lot of opportunities since that tweet to hear and consider other perspectives. I've always appreciated the significant support of our Chinese fans and sponsors, and I would hope that those who are upset will know that offending or misunderstanding them was not my intention. My tweets are my own. They in no way represent the Rockets of the NBA."
So what's behind that apology? Does the NBA come to him and say this isn't good?
Yes, it's actions that the Chinese government have taken, that the Chinese have taken, and they've let's see, what have they done? The sportswear maker, they suspended their cooperation with the Rockets. The television streamers have said they'll stop broadcasting the games over there. You search for Rockets gear on Chinese e-commerce sites, for Alibaba and those places, they don't get any results anymore. And so this is China flexing its muscle over there. And the interesting thing about this has provoked one of the rare times where Democrats and Republicans seem to agree about this is just cowardly, this cowardly wheedling from this guy on the Rockets.
Yeah.
And the NBA in general, which is skinning back. Ted Cruz tweeted out that the NBA is shamefully retreating, said he was proud to see the original comment. And Beto O'Rourke, the former Democrat, the presidential candidate,
yes,
former Democratic congressman from Texas, called the apology an embarrassment. And Julian Castro said the U.S. can't allow American citizens to be bullied by an authoritarian government. We're better than this. Human rights shouldn't be for sale, and the NBA shouldn't be assisting Chinese communist censorship. So it's this dramatic confrontation. You got to remember, the NBA, this is the league. Remember, they pulled the All-Star game out of North Carolina because of the transgender bathroom bill. They were like, "Oh, we're so woke." They're the ones that are saying that you can't refer to team owners as owners anymore because this has echoes of the slave era, or the era when people were enslaved.
So they don't want to call owners owners.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
It's not too long ago.
This is fairly recently.
Yeah. And then suddenly in the face, I mean, the Chinese government, I mean, I know it's a big market for us, but China is not a friend of human rights. Chinese human rights abuses are legendary. It's an oppressive, authoritarian regime.
Mm-hmm.
And this tweet, "Stand with the people of Hong Kong." Hong Kong is this formerly independent. It's now sort of this. It's got this sort of a two-state kind of solution. They've got their own independence until I think 2047 or something like that.
Right.
And there was, it's a complicated story, but in a sense, these protesters in China are saying, "Hey, look, we want to elect our own leaders freely," and they're pushing back against this stuff. And it's been really pretty ugly. The co-owner of the Brooklyn Nets is Chinese, and he put a thing on Facebook sort of saying, "Well, this is a third rail issue for people in China, that he considers the protesters in Hong Kong to be separatists."
Oh, interesting.
Which they're not. They're not separatists, but this has really put the NBA on the spot, and it also highlights for me and for a lot of other people the fact that Donald Trump, while he's having these tweet tantrums about Mitt Romney, Nancy Pelosi, and Adam Schiff, has not once tweeted any support for the protesters in China.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the reporting from CNN and The Hill and places like that is that Trump has agreed not to say, while trade talks are going on, he's agreed not to say anything in support of the Hong Kong protesters because of
this. To squelch the deal.
The trade deal. So you've got this pretty ugly situation brewing, and it's one that is kind of a little hard to understand until you get to something as kind of simple as this tweet fight over a simple expression of support for these protesters has thrown everyone into a tizzy.
We have less than 2 minutes, but I'm curious, if you're this guy representing the Houston Rockets, what do you do differently? If you have some political viewpoint that you want to share through Twitter or some other means, what's his better way to do it to not offend and then have to retract and apologize?
I think, clearly, I guess the lesson here is that you just don't express an opinion. But it doesn't... It baffles me and makes me angry that it's considered to be unacceptably controversial to stand with democracy.
Right,
that's what he's doing. These protesters are sharing many of our values against a regime that does not share very many of our values.
But isn't it sad though that it all really does come down to money? That if money wasn't part of this, there'd be no apology. Oh. he could have done what people like to do now and double down and say, no, I meant what I said. That's why I said it.
Right.
But you can't do that because there's too many dollars at stake. There's
way too many dollars at stake. And it's distorting our view of human rights around the world.
Right.
When we say, well, you know, it's China. Yeah, well, they're oppressed people. There's no freedom of speech. They oppress religious minorities. But, you know, boys will be boys. We want their money. And I think at some point it would be really nice if the NBA just sort of, you know, stood up for that and said, hey, no, you know, we're... You know, we love you, China. We love your fans.
But,
we love our game. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
But we're not going to, you know, we're not going to stand back and say nothing while you shoot people in the streets of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Twitter should be outlawed.
Have you heard that? That's a. I think Wendy said it, actually.
I'm going to protest Wendy for some.
All right. That's fine. Eric, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here, and we'll see you a week from today.
Watch my exit.
Watch. I can't wait to see that.
News coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's Bill, it's Wendy at 720 WGN.